Hey guys, welcome back to the Thrilogy podcast. My name's Morgan, and I'm here with my two co-hosts.
I'm Krista.
And Cameron.
Before I dive into today's episode, I want to thank Andy Kay for requesting this episode's topic. It's truly a wild one and deserves more coverage than it's been given, so I really appreciate him sending it my way. And for our other listeners, please don't forget, if you'd like a shout out at the beginning of our next episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send us a guest or a story request on our social medias. But now let's move on to today's episode. Our story begins on Wednesday, July 17th, 2019, when Tatiana Badra posted a Facebook status pleading for the public's help locating her husband, Ethan Redlin. This case is a bit different than our usual cases, as there are quite a few social media posts tied to this investigation. Because of that, I think it's important to hear the exact verbiage used in each post. So I'm going to ask my lovely co-host to step in and help me with narrating these posts. So Cameron will read for Tatiana and Krista will read for everyone else. And while I'm talking about these posts and screenshots, please make sure you check out our website where links to all of these screenshots will be found. So for a little more context before we get into this first post, Tatiana refers to The Colony, which is a suburb in Dallas, Texas. Go ahead, Cameron.
My husband, since last Saturday, Ethan, is now a missing person according to the @TheColonyPD. We were driving on Sunday to Jacob's Bell and he briefly stopped to call his father. I was sleepy as I'm 4 months along and pregnancy makes you woozy. He got out of the car, I shortly did too. There was a small discussion, no idea about what, but that was the last I ever saw him. The whole thing is so ridiculous. I can't believe the love of my life, my soulmate, isn't here holding me. I took a 5-minute lap around the white office space he had parked our car on, fully expecting to see him back. Nothing. Next door was one of those car wash DIY type places full of people smoking and drinking in their cars, and they seemed to find it hilarious. They had all seen him running around from gas station and bar to bar, crying, asking if anyone had seen me because he thought I had fallen on the embankment and looked hurt. I toured the gas stations and bars, 411, 6, white, well-built, thin, but very wide sort of muscled chest, black shirt, green or blue eyes, longish blonder hair shaved on the sides. Yeah, saw him, came in, looked nervous, sad, asked if anyone saw a very, very thin white-haired lady, then left. So I went back to where the car was and stayed up another hour. The same people on the car place were still there. One of them said he knew exactly where he was and he was walking, talking gibberish through the Target. There's no Target here. No one helped. No one wanted to do shit. So I did the one thing I'll regret to the day I die. It was getting dark. It wasn't safe looking. My bug would 100% call me to go pick him up once his phone ran out of juice. And once I got closer to Plano, I'd call the police and they'd find him quick and easy. He wasn't picking up for me. Then his phone did run out of juice. Called Plano PD. They said it was the Colony's issue. They came first day. Didn't do shit. He's just stressed, taking a walk 20 miles away. Day two, same thing with a variation of maybe a hospital. Now it's maybe suicide or cold feet. Police thinks he ate the Adderall bottle, but why? He had gotten a huge offer on a job. We're talking mid-high seven figures with commission and figures. He got married and was going to be a father, two lifelong dreams. He would write me a letter and song almost every day in his cubicle. He even put a poem book for the bugs. We called each other Bug or Buggy. He had no enemies. He's brilliant, genius, level, chemical controls engineer. Everyone loves him. We were loving Texas, closing on an 87-acre house with our own lake. He was on therapy, working out. Suicide? Just, I know depression is often invisible, but no. I just wish people would help me find the love of my life and father of our child. He deserves his life back. I don't give a fuck what people think of me anymore. Say whatever you need to or want to, but find Ethan.
So to summarize the timeline, as I know it was a little all over the place, Tatiana said she and Ethan got married on Saturday. The next day, Sunday, Ethan went missing. They had been driving home after running a few errands, and Ethan pulled over to call his father and got out of the car. Tatiana got out of the car shortly after, had a brief discussion with Ethan. And from there, Ethan disappeared. Tatiana tried to find him, but witnesses were of no help, and she ended up driving home alone. Since that night, police haven't been taking her very seriously, so now it's Wednesday, and she's asking Facebook for help. As you can imagine, there were quite a few comments on her post asking for more information. She responded to those comments by saying,
"Simply put, Thursday through Sunday was a bender weekend for him. He called his dad on my phone. We had my car stopped on Beltline in Dallas. He started ranting about some shit that made no sense. We argued. I don't really remember about what. I needed to take five. Got out. He came after me, apparently, as I didn't see that happening. I came back to my car. He wasn't there. The dudes on the nearing DIY car wash said that he had ran to a 7-Eleven gas stop to look for me and had asked about me on the way as he hadn't seen me fall on the embankment. I didn't. I went after him. Long story short, I went after him. My phone logs now show that it was around 6:47, round there. He wasn't there. They said he went to a bar. Wasn't there. I went back to the DIY place who said he'd be back and ran the direction of the Target. I was fucking exhausted of running. It's a four-way. Have you seen Beltline Road? It was also getting dark and I was getting scared. I called 911 and I got, 'He's on a bender and we'll get back home soon, ma'am. He's got his wallet.'"
Wait, so just to be clear, her husband thought she fell and he's looking for her and she's looking for him.
Yes. Okay, so that's what witnesses were saying, that he was running around frantically looking for her. Gotcha. And she's saying, "I heard that and I was frantically running around looking for him."
"Will you fucks ever stop telling me I make no sense or whatever the fuck else? Ethan is my fucking life. None of you chuckle fucks ever lifted a fucking finger to make a single effort to get to know me when he wanted to get close to you when we were here all in shy. Now he has a mental breakdown because of shit none of you fucks can even dream of. And as usual, it's me who gets shit on because I was there. I filed the police report as soon as the PD let me. I was not on any fucking drug. He was. I guess having a mental fucking breakdown after being married for all of one day and feeling guilty for taking too much melatonin because it's a storm and Ethan is deathly afraid of storms and you're scared, he's afraid and alone and you can't do shit is too bad? Well, shit."
Shortly after Tatiana posted that status, a woman named Melania, who is a co-moderator of a Facebook group called True Crime Junkies, found the post. The private Facebook group of around 12,000 members regularly posts missing person stories, and the community will gather information and discuss various theories together. So after reading Tatiana's post, Melania reached out to her and asked if she and the community could help. Tatiana responded,
"Girl, I won't lie, I'm about to lose it. I just can't stop imagining awful shit and crying."
So with that, Melania started a Facebook subgroup called True Crime Junkies, Ethan Redland Case Discussion. When asked why she chose this case to highlight and post, she says, "Every case that we have followed that had an adult male, they're kind of just put on the back burner. Women are different. If they're a mom, they get a lot of media attention. I believe that most police officers don't take missing men particularly seriously." Now, being that we're a true crime podcast, we've of course talked quite a bit about police officers not taking missing persons seriously until it's too late. So I did want to pause here and ask your thoughts about what Melania said and ask if you guys think there's some truth to what she's saying about male and female missing persons being treated differently.
No, I definitely think that there's some truth to that. And I also think more so than even male and female, I think it depends on the person who is not only being reported as missing, but also the person who is reporting that person as being a missing person, right? And, you know, you guys just heard a little bit about, you know, you just heard a little bit from Tatiana's Facebook page. And if that's how she's kind of talking on Facebook in front of, you know, who knows how many people, I can't imagine that her conversation with police or investigators, and obviously this is all, you know, just what I'm assuming, and I could totally be wrong, but I can't assume that it was an educated and calm conversation, right? And I feel like if you kind of take that approach and you talk in that way, I think that already kind of ruins the credibility and what police are going to think about you and about the person you're reporting missing. So I don't even know so much about the male versus female, but just kind of the way that she's treating the case overall, if that makes sense.
I also think that it's more than just male versus female. I think there's a lot more that goes into it. Definitely like age and race play a part, because younger people, they don't take as seriously. Oh, they're out partying or they ran away. Definitely we've seen race playing a part. And I think in this case, she's alluding to some type of mental illness, which also sometimes doesn't get taken as seriously in men, or people aren't as open about it with men as they are women. So not that, I'm not sure if that could like help or hurt in Ethan's case, but it definitely will play a part one way or another.
And the thing that I was thinking too, when I read, you know, her stance, male versus female, and how those missing persons cases are treated differently, I agree with you guys. And I feel like it's kind of more the majority, if it's been a short amount of time, the majority of missing persons cases aren't taken seriously. I don't know if it has so much to do with gender, because we've seen in our previous cases, like different ages, different genders, they're all not taken seriously. So I feel like it's a general issue as well. And like you guys were saying, like definitely there's some factors that make them not take it even more seriously, but I do think it's just a general problem too. Anyway, after Melania highlighted the story on the True Crime Junkies Facebook group, members went on to discuss their theories on where they thought Tatiana and Ethan were when he disappeared, since Tatiana couldn't exactly remember. They used Google Maps Street View to virtually explore the area and try to narrow down the search. While they had some theories on where they thought the pair were, they still had no leads on where Ethan was. So, although it's against the group's rules, many members added Tatiana on Facebook to ask for updates and clarifying information. Around this same time, Tatiana posted a status reading.
Today would be the end of the 72-hour involuntary hold Ethan would be under had he been caught by a cop on the weekend and forced into an institution. I'm praying with the small strength I have left, I will see my bug soon. We'll also go with an officer of TSPD with a warrant to T-Mobile to determine his exact last location.
The comments were flooded by community members, but I'm just going to have you guys read a few to get the general tone and where they were at this point in the investigation.
So one commenter asked, do you have an update? I've shared this with some missing person sites.
Nothing. Now I'm in the hospital. Took too many pills. Won't have this for long. Edit. The pill comment was melatonin. I was trying to sleep. I am at Presby Plano. The supervising RN allowed me my phone so I can keep in contact with the police and Ethan just in case. I haven't heard from Detective Thacker today. I'm frustrated they, in my eyes, aren't doing anything. Just checking hospitals. I checked the morgues and psych wards, but they won't touch anywhere outside North DFW and not even homeless shelters.
So just to clarify, I think DFW is probably Dallas-Fort Worth. So the next commenter said, Tatiana, add this to your original post so folks can see it without going through all the comments.
He is responsible for the investigation, but we are a tiny town north of Dallas. He disappeared outside of a warehouse last Sunday off Beltline in Dallas proper. But I figure if something real serious had happened, then the family would already know.
The next commenter said, I am not in Texas, but have shared it to several Texas missing persons groups. And the next commenter said, any pill can be harmful when you take too many, especially to an unborn child who has to get everything you take. I was told to stay away from sleep aids during pregnancy to begin with. You lost your husband. Prayers that he's safe and well, and I can't imagine that pain, but you still have a life inside of you depending on you. And they went on to say, still think about your little ones. Stay strong for them. The next comment said, you may take melatonin when you're pregnant. We make melatonin natural, and it's just to relax you more. It's all a natural sleep aid that you can take about 10 milligrams a night, but you shouldn't take 3 milligrams when you're pregnant.
And then Tatiana responds, thank you. That's awesome. I went to NU. Ethan to UOFL. What you all got your MDs from? Just curious, of course. You can safely take even many benzos and morphine depending on PT pharmacology.
Tatiana then goes back and forth with commenters quite a bit more about talking about melatonin during pregnancy, but let's skip ahead just a little bit.
So another commenter went on to say, your one post sounds like you're high on pills and hallucinating. You're pregnant taking pills and had to go to the hospital. Can I get some clarity on your original post? The next person says, any word? Are you sure he just wasn't breaking up with you? The next says, she wasn't. Please go back and reread that post. The next, come on, dude. People don't break up like that. Silly comment.
And then Tatiana replies, we got married Saturday. We're on the same lease, including car. We literally live together. It's not a relationship. No, he didn't just break up with me. There's a case with the Colony to PD.
So before I move on, I wanted to hear what your thoughts are on this most recent post and all the comments, because of course we were talking before about how her original post, you know, was very emotional, lots of caps, you know, she might have not come across the most eloquently. So now that we're hearing she's in the hospital for allegedly taking too much melatonin and, you know, she's arguing with commenters about that. At least for me, that was a little bit alarming, I guess is the right word. But I just wanted to see how you guys were feeling about it, too.
I was going to say the exact same thing. She seems super, super defensive, right? And again, it's so hard to say how you would react because I have no idea how I would be reacting in the same situation. But I would like to think that anything that wasn't helpful, I would just kind of ignore it, right? Because when you're in a situation like this, you want to find out what's going on. Or again, that's what I would assume. And so I feel like your first kind of instinct would be just continuously read, 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 find what's, you know, valuable, what's not valuable. But to get into a conversation over, you know, where did you get your degree from? Who said that, you know, I can't take melatonin and stuff like that? It just seems so off topic. It seems so defensive and it doesn't really contribute to the most important thing, and that's finding Ethan, right?
It seems too, though, that the commenters are almost similar to her. Like, some people are like, oh, do you think he was just ghosting you? And like their grammar talking about melatonin, it just seems like birds of the same feather were like flocking together in this comment section. And yeah, it definitely makes it harder to take seriously.
Yeah, completely. And I think, Cameron, you made a good point originally too, like, we don't know how we'd react if we were her. I'm sure I would be a mess. And, you know, I can't say that I wouldn't fly off the rails as well. But it is just strange. Like you said, like she's asking where they got their degrees. I don't know. And she's getting down in the nitty gritty of the melatonin. It just seemed odd to me. But anyway, the Facebook group was starting to get suspicious of Tatiana's credibility at this point. So first she's claiming that she's in the hospital for overdosing on melatonin, like we were saying, which I'm not a doctor by any means, but many were saying that overdosing on melatonin isn't actually possible. Then in the same post, she's defending the usage of melatonin during pregnancy and more serious drugs as well. Now, as if all this wasn't enough for commenters to be doubtful of Tatiana's trustworthiness, a clothing store manager posted a photo of that one of her employees had taken of Ethan and Tatiana the day of Ethan's disappearance. Her employees were apparently on high alert because the pair was acting very strangely. Tatiana had apparently entered the store without shoes and with her breasts hanging out of her wedding dress. She then wandered around the store, again acting very strangely. She apparently kept entering and exiting the changing rooms, sometimes just in a bra, and she ended up leaving quite a mess in the changing room as well. However, Tatiana was not the only one acting strangely. While at the store, Ethan had apparently thrown away a bottle of clonidine, which is apparently a blood pressure medication, and stated, "I won't need this anymore." Again, this was signaling major alarm bells with the True Crime Facebook group. They began digging further and further into Tatiana and Ethan's social media profiles, finding a lot of very strange posts in the process. I won't go into all of the posts, but basically in 2017, Ethan had a string of posts saying how he's homeless, he can't trust his family, how the police showed up at his apartment, and how sometimes you just need to let go of those you love. As for Tatiana, people were noticing that her posts at a certain point seemed relatively normal, but then they started to get chaotic and very odd. This all culminated with someone reading an old GoFundMe Tatiana created on June 6, 2013, which read,
"So, what can I say? How do I start this? Hi, first off, my name is Tatiana, and I'm 26. I've been on this medical roller coaster my entire life, starting from a very early age. I've beaten the big C twice in life, and that's a huge thing, I suppose. Since then, I've been pretty healthy. The only thing plaguing me were seizures, heart arrhythmias, and anxiety, and the occasional scare about my CBCs being shut off, but healthy. But since moving to Illinois in the end of 2011 and being diagnosed with three pulmonary embolisms in November, life has gone in a downward spiral of sorts. I've been fighting to keep myself in school and to keep working, but that hasn't been an easy task. I have wonderful, amazing friends, but I also have Factor V Leiden, and I was hospitalized 9 times last year alone for medical reasons related mainly to clots and heart issues. I am also a VAWA immigrant, accepted and approved December 5th, 2012. Yay. And I owe a lot to my lawyer and her team and the wonderful women who made it happen. What that also means is that for an entire year, I was unable to work by law because it was illegal before getting approved, so the medical bills piled up. Right now, I'm going to a, and I believe this was supposed to be through, rough patch because it seems my marrow isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. My blood thinning medication is not doing what it's supposed to be doing either, and all the alternatives are way too expensive. I have no health insurance and can't apply for government aid because I haven't been a resident for 5 years yet, and my docs think it's too much of a risk for me to be taking on full-time or even part-time work. So I survive giving out music lessons and doing translation / interpreting work. Needless to say, it isn't really working out. I have no family anymore or anyone who can be any help in that regard. My family are my wonderful friends, amazing roommate, and my feminist sisters. To anyone who wishes to help, if there is anyone out there, I am willing to give out my medical information to you, every exam you require, and my full and complete medical information. I am right now being treated in 2 different hospitals in the Chicago area, and all you need to do is get in contact with me through here, and I will happily divulge all information to each and every one of you personally. The high amount is not for medication only, even though it can get salty. For example, Lovenox alone gets up to $1,200 every 2 weeks. But for doctor's visits, oncologists, hematologist visits can be pretty expensive. Neurologists, specialists in general, surgeons, etc. Some procedures like bone marrow aspirations, tests, and the payment of bills from the embolisms that have turned my left lung into mush, it's a never-ending list. Thank you for reading this, and much love to all of you.
Wait, so is she pregnant at this point, though?
No, so when she posted this GoFundMe, this was back in 2013, and Ethan disappeared in 2019. So this was a very old post that they had dug up in, you know, the Facebook investigation. And, you know, they were just comparing her stories and what she was saying. So, you know, while there's not too much to take away from this post right now, it did add to everyone's extreme confusion about the situation and honestly suspicion as well. So like I said, there's not really too much to say about this post yet, but just keep it in the back of your mind as we continue to explore the case. At this point, members of the community tried to refocus on establishing a timeline up into the present day. So Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th. Tatiana claims Ethan was on a bender. Friday, July 12th. I didn't mention this piece before, but Tatiana created a missing persons flyer that says Ethan went missing on this date, which may very likely be an error because all of her other posts say the 14th. Saturday, July 13th. Tatiana says she and Ethan got married. Sunday, the 14th. Tatiana says Ethan went missing. Monday, the 15th, Tatiana claims she filed the missing persons report with the police. Tuesday, the 16th, Tatiana claims in a different Facebook post that she filed a missing persons report. Friday, the 19th, Tatiana says she's in the hospital, but that the nurse let her use her phone. This brings us to Saturday, July 20th. Tatiana now begins posting on local news stations' Facebook pages, pleading for their help. Shortly after, and now here's where the story gets a little bit more interesting, Ethan's mom joined one of the true crime Facebook groups to clear up some of the facts of the story.
His mother writes, "They are not married, she is not pregnant, and I think she writes those stories on his page." She is as shady as they come. She is a total drug addict, and she has been contradicting herself every step of the way. I have been quiet because she could see the feed, and I'm trying to keep my enemies closer. He did not call his father that day. She told me 3 different stories of what happened in the car. I also assumed he had left her finally. Thing is, he liked his job, and it meant everything for starting his career. When they called concerned, I realized that he has really gone missing. Also, I expect to finally talk to a detective tomorrow. I left messages for the guy with this case. Sent emails saying they need to look into her. Now, I have his boss and the sergeant's name and hope to have a live person give me a clue in the morning.
So, as you can imagine, the members of the true crime group were extremely alarmed at this point. Many of them started to seriously suspect that Tatiana had something to do with Ethan's disappearance. So I just want to pause here. What are you guys thinking? Do you think that Tatiana has anything to do with this, or she's just, you know, distraught and posting this way? And, you know, the background with Ethan's mom, they don't have a great relationship. Like, what do you make of all of this?
To me, it seems like a mother knows best type of situation. Like, the mom's probably right that Tatiana's fairly unhinged. And it seems that Tatiana is pretty delusional. I don't think that it's like a scenario of like he ghosted or left her. Like, the mom was thinking maybe he finally left her. But I don't know that if the story happens in the way that Tatiana thinks. I think it's, at this point, it's looking a little bit delusional. Especially the marriage and the pregnancy. I'm not sure why she would. Well, she would lie about it for sympathy, theoretically speaking, I guess. But it's a bit extreme, the whole thing.
Yeah, and the marriage thing too, keep in mind. And this is where, I don't know, I'm starting to question things and not really know what's true or what's not. The store clerks have that picture of her in her wedding dress. I mean, she has like her chest out, but she's wearing a wedding dress. So the mom's saying that they didn't get married, but we have pictures of her wearing a wedding dress.
Well, I mean, the wedding part could have happened in the blink of an eye. I mean, you can go down to the courthouse and do that very easily without your mom knowing. So if they're adults, that could have very well actually happened without the mom knowing, because I did forget about the wedding dress, but the pregnancy, I'm not sure. That's not really a blink of an eye.
So as you guys might be thinking, where are the police in all of this? Tatiana claimed to have filed police reports, but the community was suspicious that there hadn't been any police activity to locate Ethan or even any official posts about it. That is, until Monday, July 22nd, just over a week after Ethan's disappearance. The Colony Police Department finally posted a missing persons notice on their Facebook page, stating that on July 15th, they received information about Ethan as a possible missing person. They went on to say that as of today, July 22nd, he has still not been located. While that post did clear up some doubts that Tatiana had lied about contacting the police, her credibility was still in shambles. And as if her credibility couldn't be ruined even more, Ethan's best friend Phil joined the discussion as well and had some very interesting things to say about Tatiana. Phil said that Ethan's relationship with her worried him from the beginning. At first, Ethan was hesitant to share any information about Tatiana at all. Then when he finally opened up, he said Tatiana was a successful molecular biologist from a wealthy Brazilian family. Later, that story changed, and Ethan told Phil that Tatiana worked in various ERs and was stealing drugs from them. Ethan said that Tatiana moved around a lot to avoid detection. Phil went on to say that he was shocked by Tatiana's ability to trick his friend with her truly wild stories. Another example Phil shared was that Tatiana told Ethan that she received a large inheritance. Ethan believed that story because she would occasionally treat him to fancy meals and electronics. At the same time, however, Tatiana always seemed to be in a financial crisis. First, in 2018, Tatiana and Ethan were evicted from their apartment. And again, actually around the time of Ethan's disappearance, the couple ran into more financial troubles. Interestingly enough, just before Ethan's disappearance, not only were eviction notices filed for their apartment, but also Tatiana borrowed $10,000 from Ethan, and Ethan filed for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Her excuse for all of these financial dilemmas was that she was not able to gain control of her money until she turned 31. But if you're following this convoluted story, you know that she would have been 31 in 2017. So when she was questioned about that, her excuse is that she wasn't actually 31, as she had previously said, but she was actually 29. And so she still had to wait 2 more years to have access to all the money. So to say that Ethan's family and friends didn't trust Tatiana would be an understatement. Many people came forward with stories about Tatiana, but because those posts are so long, I'm not going to read them word for word. I'm just going to summarize them for you. First, Ethan's mother said that during a break in Tatiana and Ethan's relationship, Tatiana said that she'd been kidnapped by masked men who mutilated her and left her for dead. Ethan's mother went on to say, quote, "I was told that she was pregnant with Ethan's child and got taken out, slave traded to a farmhouse, that they stabbed her, and so she lost the baby. But the baby's stem cells cured her of cancer." Next, a woman came forward under the alias Alice and shared that she knew Tatiana by the name of Anya. Anya, aka Tatiana, created many support groups online for Brazilian survivors of sexual assault and eating disorders. You might be thinking, wow, finally a positive story about Tatiana. Nope. Alice also revealed that Tatiana was a relentless cyberbully. She would apparently routinely leak nude photos of friends and acquaintances online, and she was always starting online arguments. Alice went on to say that another thing she flagged as odd about Tatiana was that she was always soliciting money for medical treatments that she never actually seemed to get. On July 24th, 2019, about a week and a half after Ethan went missing, Alice made a post on the True Crime Junkies Facebook group stating, "I have received over the years messages from her boyfriends and others that came after telling me how they felt victimized by her, how she scammed them thousands of dollars, got them hooked on drugs, was hooked on drugs, faked pregnancies, faked suicide attempts, etc., etc. She's not a cancer survivor. She's currently an American resident because of her fake story of being a survivor of abuse. She's dangerous, abusive, and manipulative." After Alice posted, the floodgates truly opened. Countless people came forward with stories about Tatiana, most following the same pattern of pregnancies, medical conditions, drug use, threats, manipulation, and stolen money. They also revealed Tatiana's wild backstory that she shared with the majority of them. In short, Tatiana told them that she was an orphan, born in Chernobyl, and then was adopted by a wealthy Brazilian family. She then claimed to have been abused throughout childhood, but had genius abilities in science and music. This allowed her to study first in London and then in the United States. Then, as I mentioned earlier, there was the inheritance, but her uncle controlled the funds. Tatiana also said that she was a model, a cancer survivor, and had a young daughter back in Brazil. She also claimed that she was working at various high-paying jobs as a financial analyst, a senior sales engineer, and a multilingual translator. She also said that she was about to become a doctor. While at the same time heartbreaking and impressive, very little of this story turned out to be factual. While it's true she was adopted, a few of her former friends spoke with her adoptive mother. Tatiana's adoptive mother confirmed that Chernobyl, cancer, her schooling, and her work history was all a lie. Believe it or not, it gets worse from here. While most knew her as Tatiana or Anya, she also went by many other names. In fact, Tatiana might have had 10 different personas over the last 10 years, and there's documentation to show that she committed identity fraud and has been associated with at least 6 different Social Security numbers. to name a few of those personas, she identified as Ania, who was a white supremacist and talked about racial purity. She also identified as Tatiana Lebedeva, which is the same first name, but is a different last name. And this persona was a radical feminist. Lastly, she identified as Pippa, who was a sugar baby. So after I read all of this, I started to, of course, question Tatiana's character. But to me, this obviously isn't proof that she was involved in the disappearance of her husband. But I don't know, it definitely gives me an uneasy feeling about the whole thing. What do you guys think about it?
She's definitely unstable. Again, I'm not saying he's not missing or like it's not very serious, but she's like, the word of the night is unhinged and delusional.
Yeah, it's just, again, like you said, there's obviously no proof that she had anything to do with Ethan's disappearance, but you take all of these things and you add them all together and it definitely makes you wonder, you know?
Well, actually, I don't know if she's even delusional because it seems like a lot of this, at least the last paragraph of the identity theft, is very calculated. So she may know exactly what she's doing and not even be delusional or living in La La Land.
Right. That was my thought, too. Like, so far, we don't have anything that points to violence or that she's violent, but clearly calculated and manipulative. Like, she has 10 different personas, and she has their stories down to a T, and she must be good at it if she's getting various people to give her thousands of dollars. So I don't know if she's just, you know, like, off in La La Land, like we were saying. I think, you know, this is very calculated. But that's not to say that she's necessarily violent. It just makes you wonder. As you can imagine, the True Crimes Junkies Facebook group was going nuts after the seemingly constant stream of big reveals about Tatiana. They knew nothing for certain at this point, except that Tatiana was a true con artist. On July 23rd, 2019, Ethan's mother and his friend Phil arrived in Texas. They were determined to find any information that would help them find Ethan. It had been nearly 2 weeks now since he disappeared, and they'd received zero new leads or evidence. The only information they had to go off of was Tatiana's story, which again, they already knew was partially false. They drove around various locations that Tatiana had mentioned, trying to find any clues that would help them find Ethan. Unfortunately, they weren't able to find anything and left Texas about 5 days later. As you guys know, Facebook groups played a huge role in this case. Not only was there the True Crime Junkies page, but there were various local groups dedicated to finding Ethan. Through one of those local groups, four Dallas civilians connected and started to put together the puzzle pieces. One of the four civilians' names was Amber. Amber was a substitute teacher, so she was off for the summer. Again, remember this happened in July. She spent days driving around in her car, trying to find any location that matched Tatiana's vague descriptions. On July 26th, she was able to locate the car wash, the gas station, and the bar where Ethan had last been seen. Amber and another one of the four Dallas civilian volunteers confirmed with locals that Tatiana had also been there and had been seen in the area that day. Amber said, quote, "The car wash guy said, yeah, there was this couple here. They were fighting and he ran off that way toward the woods. They were both high as a kite. She runs around looking for him, trying to find him basically all night, and they can't find each other." Amber and the other volunteer then found the embankment behind the gas station that Tatiana had previously mentioned. They called the police to investigate, but responding officers did not find any evidence that Ethan had been there. The officers then told the volunteers not to return to the area as it was an extremely dangerous area for drug activity. On July 29th, 3 days after the search party was told not to return to the area, and 12 days after Ethan had disappeared, police found a body in the embankment. Unfortunately, soon after, they confirmed that it was Ethan. While police stated there was likely no foul play involved, Ethan's best friend Phil thought otherwise. He asked for all of the Facebook volunteers' help again and stated,
"I'd like everyone to start archiving her social media profiles. I'm wondering if a new group should be created for this or not. I'd need help with organizing. I also need some Portuguese speakers to help with her Brazilian profiles. I feel very strongly that she was involved. I know that she has a history of victimizing and psychologically abusing people, and she cannot be allowed to continue doing this to people. My hope is that she is brought to justice by the police, and at the very least, we can spread awareness about who she is."
On August 3rd, Ethan's mother and his sister went to Ethan and Tatiana's apartment to gather his personal belongings. Tatiana biked up to the apartment wearing a red wig and was denied access to the apartment building again because of the eviction notice. Ethan's mother remembers that day clearly and stated, "The manager said she'd been going around burying Ethan's stuff all weekend." Ethan's mother and sister called the police, and Tatiana was arrested for 4 open warrants for traffic violations. To Ethan's friends and family's dismay, it doesn't seem like Tatiana was ever questioned by police or under investigation for Ethan's death. However, the true crime Facebook detectives didn't let that stop them from gathering more information. Many more victims of Tatiana's reached out, echoing similar stories as previous victims. However, many former romantic partners also reached out, alleging that not only did Tatiana lie, steal, manipulate, as we had previously heard, but they stated that she was also physically abusive. In this sea of ex-romantic partners, a man named Francis Silva reached out, stating that he was Tatiana's ex-husband. He said that based on his experience with her, he was confident that Tatiana was involved in Ethan's death. In August 2020, so about a year after Ethan's death, Tiffany Harris and David Trent reached out to the True Crime Junkies Facebook group, stating that they had recently met Tatiana under alias Anya Audi. David stated that while he was under the influence of drugs, Tatiana tried to convince him that he had been molested by a family member. She then began playing interviews with serial killers and 911 calls of rapes in progress. David stated, "She comes up with these outlandish, horrifying lies about people, then plants them in your brain while you're tripping. And you've got to understand that she doesn't just say things. She's done her research. She knew terminology that she could use to make you think that this was real." While this is extremely odd and very unsettling, the most disturbing part of their allegations is that they said on several occasions Tatiana broke down crying, confessing that she had seen Ethan die. They said that she would cry and say over and over, "I watched him die, I watched Ethan die." Remember, David and Tiffany knew Tatiana as Anya. They happened to uncover her true identity when they found a misplaced medical form. When they saw her name wasn't what they thought it was, they decided to Google her real name. This led them to the True Crime Junkies Facebook group, and their already unsettled feeling turned to extreme worry. They decided to call the police department with this information, and they were told that Tatiana was dangerous and to change the locks on their apartment. So, unfortunately, that's basically where the story ends for now. Today, Tatiana is still active on her social media accounts and maintains her innocence. Since Ethan's death, she has posted screenshots of Ethan's conversations with family members that she says show that they weren't close and couldn't be trusted. She's also apparently gone on an ayahuasca retreat to Peru and also did ketamine therapy for PTSD. Most recently, about 19 months after Ethan's death, she gave birth to a baby girl. So I know this was a wild ride, but it's time to talk about our final thoughts on this case. For me, I don't know. I want to make it totally clear that Tatiana could be innocent, but the best case scenario, she's not generally innocent. She is clearly very manipulative and, like I said earlier, a con artist. And really hearing the most recent updates from Tiffany, and I think his name was David. That really made me uncomfortable and made me start questioning things more. You know, for a while, I was just thinking she's a con artist, she's unhinged, she's manipulative, but not necessarily violent. But hearing that, I don't know, she was playing all of those recordings, it really made me question things further. So I don't know. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, based on everything you say, like you've told us, and you know, kind of the way that she's reacted and the way that things have gone down, I want to say that she has some sort of involvement. It seems too weird that she wouldn't be involved at all. And I know that you had mentioned that they found his body and they determined that there was no foul play involved or anything along those lines. But how much did they really look? You know what I mean? Like, we just talked about this in the case that I covered last week where they convicted somebody, but there was no DNA. You know, it was just a really weird case and it makes you wonder, how did they get to that conclusion? And so I don't know. It's so hard to say without having more evidence that points to her other than just how she's reacted and kind of this personality that she has. I don't know. I'm stuck. I'm kind of at a dead end, honestly.
Well, first of all, my eyes widened when it said that she had a baby girl, because it's like, okay, this is like multiplying the next generation. But that aside, I don't think, to be honest, that she had maybe anything to do with Ethan falling in the embankment. It really just seems they were both stupidly high and things just went wrong. But that doesn't take away from the fact that she's super manipulative and dangerous in other ways. Scamming and, you know, playing those clips for that guy when he was like under the influence, that was weird. I think that what happened with Ethan and her going so public with the timeline blew up her spot with all her scamming endeavors.
Yeah, the other piece that, and again, like after doing all of this research and reading all these stories about Tatiana, reading the timeline, reading all this stuff, I don't genuinely believe that she killed him. I would be more inclined to think that she saw him fall into the embankment, and that's why she's saying, I watched him die, I watched Ethan die. So I don't know. Maybe she knew about it and that she was lying to people. Like, she didn't want to admit that she was on drugs. Remember how defensive she was in the beginning of her original post? She said, I wasn't on whatever he was on. He was on a bender. I wasn't on a bender. I took melatonin. That's all I took. I'm pregnant. Like, she was very, very defensive when clearly she was on something. So, like you were saying, Krista, I think her lies just got out of hand. And, you know, having all of these internet detectives on her case, it just blew up her spot. So I do hope that talking about this kind of brings this to light, if nothing else, so people are aware, because she's still, as I said, active on social media and is actually, I didn't mention this earlier, but she's on Facebook dating, which is a thing. So I don't know. The whole thing was really interesting to me and creepy, honestly. But yeah, I just wanted people to be more aware.
I think you bring up a good point too, where maybe she didn't purposely do this, but like either her being on drugs and not being able to help him or being too scared to help him, right? Like, you know, maybe she didn't want to get in trouble with the cops, especially being an immigrant. You know, if you get in trouble for drugs as an immigrant, that can really mess up things. So maybe there was something that went wrong there. And, you know, this wasn't her intention, but it is, you know, what happened. So I don't know.
I also don't think, almost completely forgot about the melatonin thing, because things have, so much has happened since then. But it also seems like she was in the hospital, and this is like maybe a far out take, but she's in the hospital trying to gain sympathy for taking too much melatonin. Like, you have to take notice that she's not taking any substance that's deadly, and she knows that. She's not taking anything that's going to like maim her ruin her, leave her damaged. I mean, melatonin is naturally produced by the body. Like, the odds that you overdose on it, like you said, Morgan, are slim to none. So we already see this. She doesn't have the wherewithal to, like, hurt herself and go that extra length. And I doubt that she would have that same wherewithal against a grown man to shove him into an embankment. It just seems, again, like, just that alone, she is just trying to garner sympathy. And it's mostly for attention, if not anything else. Probably over anything, so.
Yeah, completely. But I did just want to – I don't believe her when she says she was only on melatonin. Like, I want to make that clear. I don't believe her. She said that she was only on melatonin. But the way that the store clerks were describing her and Ethan stumbling around, her chest is out, that cannot just be melatonin. I'm sorry. So I don't know.
If she was even in the hospital, I mean, I don't remember if there was, like, any photos. I know the store surveillance, but, like, if she was even in the hospital, because usually when these things happen, especially if it comes to some type of mental health care and stuff like that, if it's, like, that severe, you're not going to have your phone. Like, the nurse is not giving you your phone. You're, like, locked down, observation, detoxing, all that stuff. So that was, like, another red flag in her story besides the melatonin. Like, a lot of people would agree you're not going to have your phone in that situation posting on social media.
And I also didn't – I know now we're, like, getting back really far in the beginning of the case, but her story didn't add up from the beginning. Like, she said that Ethan called his dad from the phone, and then she said, according to her phone's records, he called at 6:43 or whatever the time was. So – it was her phone that he allegedly called on, according to her. But then she also says, oh, I thought that he was going to call me. Like, I don't know. It didn't make sense. So something – she was hiding something. She's currently hiding something. I still don't believe that she had anything directly to do with his death. I just think that she's trying to cover something, as we've been saying. So with that, I want to thank everyone for listening and for joining us today. You can find all of these amazing screenshots and photos for this case on our website, trilogypodcast.com.
So normally we release a new episode every Monday, but over the next couple of weeks, we are all kind of going on different forms of vacation. So getting together and recording a normal Trilogy episode isn't going to be possible, but we don't want to leave you guys hanging. And so what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks is doing an unscripted, unedited version of Trilogy, where we cover some mysterious cases, true crime related, and we just talk about them in a normal, unedited, unscripted fashion. So it's definitely gonna be a little bit different than what you guys are used to, but I hope you'll enjoy it nonetheless.
Thanks again for listening, and as always, you can keep up with all things Trilogy on social media at Trilogy Pod, and make story requests on trilogypodcast.com.